Welcome to Issues, weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible. Real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
A very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM in Kumasi, Ghana. Greetings to our listeners, those outside the country and within, and then outside Kumasi as well. Indeed, it's always a privilege to come your way Saturday evenings from 8 to 9:30. I'm Eben, and tonight I'll have a guest. I have a guest in the studio tonight. And then Pastor Roger will also join by phone in the course of the program. God willing, tonight and next week, we are talking about something very important. I'll come to it in the course of the program. But first, we'll be talking about the news, the things happening in the world. You know, this week, a friend called me, a business client friend. And, just normal talk business. And then it's like, hey, what's happening? And then it's like, and I was amazed when this lady said she has no idea Russia is about to invade Ukraine and all that. And it's like, whoa. So, there are a lot of people who have no idea what is happening in the world. And it's like, hey, so a potential third world war issue, we are virtually, the world is on the brink of a major issue. And she had no idea at all. I'm sure there are people like that as well, many people. But for those who listen to Issues of Life, you understand the dynamics of the news and the ins and outs and what is happening. And I know a lot of things happening now doesn't surprise most listeners of this program, because there are some things that I started talking about it way, way, way before it's happening now. This week, one listener sent me a message that went out to buy things and the prices were serious. I said, well, I've been warning way back from August, coming July, August, September, that we are getting to this serious situation. And I don't mean to scare you, but the truth is we've not even reached where we are reaching. The worst is even ahead. This program, I see it as it is. So if you think things are going to get better, please take it from me. The worst days are ahead. The food crisis that I've been warning is ahead. And, it's a difficult situation. It's not something that is, everyone wishes for it to happen. But these are things which the Lord says is coming. These are the things coming. And unfortunately, it's unfolding just as it is. And we are seeing all the signals of it. If you look at the cost of fuel, which has been pushed by the Russian activity and all that, unfortunately, our CD2 is weakening very fast. So it's like, for us, it's a double issue. The crude is going because of dollars going up. and our CD is weak, so we are bearing a double brand. And you see, we are, these things move through the entire economy. Cost of living, food, transportation, everything goes up. So, you know, we are seeing signals which really depict exactly the things I was talking about from last year. This week I was amazed. Well, I won't use the word amazed because I'm not amazed. I know, I understand the times. But when IMF, Joy FM was given one of their business news and they made reference to an IMF report. Unfortunately, I couldn't search for it myself today and to read the full thing on air. But, I mean, in summary, they said the high cost of price, goods and commodities will run well into 2023. When I heard it, I said, whoa, there we go. You know, so this is the reality on the ground. You see, it's like a perfect storm is being created to push the world into a very difficult and chaotic position. Various scenarios are coming to pass that is pushing the world to this place. And that's why the Lord has been warning ahead of time that his children should do what they have to do. Be like Joseph. Be like Joseph as much as we can. As much as we can. We need to operate at a certain level of wisdom now, because we have to know how to prioritize what is important and what is not important. These are the times to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you to do, not to do, to go, not to go. I mean, we should be led by the Spirit of God in these times. You know, Paul said it clearly, 2 Timothy 3, perilous times shall come. We are living in those perilous times where a lot of things are just shaking all around the world. Let me get into the news, which doesn't seem too good. And, you know, this week the weather hasn't been good for various places. Heavy rains, landslides kill scores in Brazilian mountain city. And at least 110 people have died in the Brazilian mountain city of Petropolis, local officials said on Thursday, after heavy rains triggered landslides that washed out streets, swept away cars, and then buried homes. And over 100 people too are even still missing. And that's quite a worry. And yesterday, for those who saw yesterday's news, London, quite a terrible and terrific, you know, the winds were serious, destroying things in London and all that. Extreme weather. So many things happening. Extreme weather. Okay, so latest updates on the Ukraine-Russia crisis. A series of news today. Let me just put all together. The first is Germany and Austria issue travel advisories for Ukraine. Urge citizens to leave immediately. You know, sometimes when you see the posture and the tone of what today's world leaders, the way they say things, it can give you an idea of what they know, because they have intelligence to a certain degree. So when they say these things, that they should leave immediately, it gives you a signal. So German and Austrian citizens have been urged by their government to not travel to Ukraine and immediately leave if they are in the country. Quote, travel to Ukraine is warned against. German citizens are urged to leave the country now. That's a very strong, urgent message. Now, that's a notice issued by German Foreign Office on Saturday. Quote, tensions between Russia and Ukraine have continued to rise in the face of massive presence and movement of Russian military units near Ukraine's borders. A military confrontation is possible at any time, unquote. The notice said, quote, should there be a Russian attack on Ukraine, there are very limited options of support to German citizens, unquote. And then the Austrian Foreign Office issued a similar advisory on Saturday, warning that warlike action could be a fatal threat, according to a statement published on its website. So some countries already giving the dire warnings there. Then this headline says, European Union sanctions against Russia are ready, according to German Foreign Minister. German Foreign Minister Annalena Baerbock said on Saturday that a package of sanctions against Russia has been wrapped up over the last few days and weeks. She added that the European Union has also made it clear that it's not just the scenario of troops being moved into the country that will trigger these sanctions. Speaking at a news conference on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference, Baerbock made the comments following a meeting with representatives of the European Union. She said that different scenarios were being prepared for, adding, "We are doing whatever we can do to make sure that these scenarios don't become reality." It's not always the harshest reaction that is the best weapon or cuts hearts best. So we have to take a closer look at the situation arising and assess it on that basis. As I said, the worst that could happen would be more interference. And then that would be the worst scenario, really. And then we will do whatever we can to avert this, according to Baerbock. This headline says, U.S. Defense Secretary says it is apparent Russia has made a decision and is moving into position to conduct an attack. So speaking in Vilnius, Lithuania, U.S. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said it was apparent that Russia has made a decision and was moving into the right position to conduct an attack on Ukraine. "We are uncoiling and now poised to strike," Austin said. If you look at the stance he is in today, it's apparent Putin has made a decision and they are moving into the right positions to conduct an attack. Austin reiterated earlier comments from U.S. President Joe Biden that Russian President Vladimir Putin had decided to invade after weeks of U.S. saying he hadn't made a decision. Austin and others in the U.S. continue to say diplomacy is still possible. And he added, quote, "I believe we should try until the very last minute, until it's not possible," unquote. And then on Friday, President Joe Biden said he believed Russian forces intended to attack Ukraine in the coming week or sooner, and that an attack will target the Ukrainian capital, Kiev. And then, quote, "As of this moment, I'm convinced," this is Joe Biden's statement, quote, "As of this statement, I am convinced he's made the decision," unquote, Biden said during remarks at the White House. These are very strong words. You know, the U.S. have their strong intelligence. So before they make such bold statements, you know, they have satellites. They see, I mean, I've seen some of the satellite images they posted on some of the news networks, CNN and Co. So you see, they can see the movements. Those are still pictures, of course, but they have the real life satellite imagery video where they can see movement of the tankers and all that. So when they say they are positioning things to invade, they understand what they are saying and they know what they are seeing. And it's a very worrying situation because, you know, some don't really understand it. They don't see it as, oh, it's just some two countries who have nothing to do and they are just playing their games. These are actions that will run through the entire world economic system. It would affect the entire world. I mean, well, we are sitting in Ghana in our Kumasi here, but when the crude prices go up, it affects the size of your kinky. It affects everything. Transportation runs down through the whole system. So, in as much as it's far away up there in their cold weather there, when they fight, it affects us here in Kumasi and the entirety of the country. So these are not things we can just say, oh, well, it's up to them. It affects all of us. This is so we should understand the dynamics of some of these things. And that's why we just hope it doesn't happen. I mean, no one wishes for war, I mean, obviously, but we should understand that these are very perilous times and dangerous times. So we should be mindful of how we do our things, how we prepare, you know. And I've said this countless times. That's why I keep saying that there is a direct relationship between the cost of living that we have, our normal cost of living, and the external factors that influence it. Because we are a country that largely imports most of the things we consume. So when these things begin to occur in the international circles and it affects the supply chains and all that, we cannot run away from the effects of it. You know, this week I was in a shop and I was amazed. I saw something, a product that was before the last time I saw, I remember the last time I saw it on the shelf, it was $7.99. But this week, it was $13.99. I took a picture of it and I sent it to my wife. I said, hey, Charlie, you see this thing? And she didn't, so she asked me, she didn't know the previous price. So the last time I remember seeing the price was $7.99. And it's like, whoa, $7.99 to $13.99. That should give you an idea of, you see, imported things are really going up. And so we just pray nothing happens. But if it does, then we should know that we'll be seeing things in the higher numbers. Things will be jumping up because we don't control all these things. We don't control the things we import, the prices we import them, the supply chain issues, the shipping lines, how much they charge. All these things are beyond us. So these are the important things why we should be a bit concerned. And if you are praying, we should know how to pray. All right, so enough of the war and rumors of wars and all the war games they are doing. And, okay, I think I missed one. Okay, it's rather here. Let me finish that one and then I get to the other things. And in Ukraine, you know, there's a part of Ukraine where they have rebels who are also backed by the Russian government. So this headline today is, rebels declare general mobilization as fighting grows. So they've started their fighting already. So that's the whole issue altogether. Ukraine's Russian-backed breakaway eastern territories have ordered military mobilizations amid a deadly escalation in fighting. Men of fighting age in the self-declared People's Republics of Donetsk and Luhansk are being put on standby. Western nations have accused Russia of trying to stage a fake crisis in the eastern regions as a pretext to invade. International monitors report a dramatic increase in attacks along the line dividing the rebel and government forces. Two Ukrainian soldiers were killed and four injured by shelling on Saturday. That's today. The first deaths to be reported in weeks. And Joe Biden's minister, Lloyd Austin, said Russian forces were beginning to uncoil and move closer to the border with Ukraine. And then Angela Merkel, when I saw Germany, I'm so used to that woman. U.S. Vice President Kamala Harris told a security conference that if Russia did invade, the U.S. and its allies would impose, quote, significant and unprecedented economic cost, unquote, targeting its financial institutions and key industries, as well as those who aided and abetted such an invasion. Echoing her remarks, UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson said that in the event of an invasion, his country would open up a Matryoshka dolls of strategic Russian-owned companies and make it impossible for them to raise finance in London. And then the final part of it today, Russia launches hypersonic missiles as part of nuclear drills. Hey, this people. So Russia hits sea and land-based targets with ballistic and cruise missiles on Saturday as part of strategic nuclear exercises overseen by President Vladimir Putin and his Belarusian counterpart, according to the Kremlin. The annual exercises featured launches of Kinzhal and then Chekhov hypersonic missiles and a number of other weapons, the Kremlin said in a statement. Interesting times we live in. All right, so that's it of the war, people. Let's get into some other news. And in the US, you have this transgender people too featuring their things. No, this week, that's yesterday. Let me just read. my brother called me, the one I come after, and he sent me. When he called, he said he received an SMS. Oh, where's his number? Cry. I'm just reading the WhatsApp he sent me. Uh-huh. So that apparently, you know, they released the BET results and then the school placement. So it looks like their system was hacked. The numbers, the phone numbers, and then it was hacked by. And then the hackers sent messages to parents, and then this was a message hacked, and then the hashtag Gay Lives Matters Too. Then they give a certain web address. So later in the day, then the CSSPS people sent message, hello, then the child, the student's name, please ignore any messages received from CSSPS that are not about your school selection. Thank you. So the Gay Lives Matters Too. So they hacked and then sent this to parents yesterday. And it's like, if you want to champion your cause, is this how you are going to... It's quite interesting, but these are the people always trying to make their case. Apparently, Parliament has started listening to the bill. They started talking about it this week. I think the not in the plenary, but I think the forum where people ask questions or something. All right, so in the U.S., where you have trans-identified swimmer Leah Thomas sets record at Ivy League championships. Let me give a full run to this story. This guy who now claims he's a woman is used to compete as a man, as a guy in University of Pennsylvania. Now he says he's a woman and is competing against the women and breaking all the records. And it's like, so where is common sense in this whole world now? Because if you see his picture alone, anytime I see his picture on Fox News, so this guy is a woman. And it's like, what I tell myself is, if I were any of those ladies there, the competition will all withdraw from it. Go and swim alone. Because I don't see the fairness in, we are ladies, and then you come as a guy, claiming you are also a lady. You have all the, physical advantages, and you break all the records, and then you are being celebrated as you've won. You are breaking records. So this week, it happened again. University of Pennsylvania trans-identified swimmer Leah Thomas set a new record in the 200-yard freestyle finals at the Ivy League Women's Swimming and Diving Championships on Friday. Thomas, a senior who had previously competed for years on University of Pennsylvania's men's team, drew much backlash for competing on Penn's women's team this season, and won 200-yard freestyle and 500-yard freestyle races at the annual league championships event held this year in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Thomas finished the 200-yard freestyle in 1 minute 43.12 seconds, beating the meet record set in 2020 by over half a second. That is quite huge, because he's a man. Beating women's time. The next closest competitor was Harvard's Samantha Shelton, who finished the race in 1 minute 45.82 seconds. Look at the gap. It's just unfair. And then in the 500-yard too, he also broke records there. And it's like, this thing is being normalized. And some people are now, some politicians are beginning to raise voices in the U.S. in some states and governors that women's sports should be protected. Because it's so unfair that when now people want to take undue advantage, the guy just says that, well, I'm trans, so now I want to compete as a woman. Knowing very well that you have all the advantages over them. You see, but it shows the level of the society, how low the society is getting to, where it's not about morals, it's not about fairness, it's not about biology, it's just about the system. This is what the system believes in. So that is it. They should have their way, and no one can say anything. You dare say something, and you are rather, classified as transphobe and whatever names that they want to call you and all that. Then in Finland, this is, I talked about this news earlier, somewhere last year, when it first came up. But the woman, I think this week it came up again in the Fox News. It was quite a strong news there. Finnish lawmaker being charged for expressing her religious views speaks out and calls the case dangerous. Päivi Räsänen details the historic nature of her religious freedom case. And then the Finnish member of parliament shares with Fox News Digital how she is on a trial for posting verses from the Bible. Finnish members of parliament, Päivi Räsänen and then Lutheran Bishop Johanna Pujola were in a court Monday facing up to 2 years in prison. Their crime, expressing religious views. Räsänen faces 3 charges of ethnic agitation for a 2004 pamphlet, for taking part in a discussion on a radio show in 2019, and most recently for tweeting a picture of the Bible. A picture of the Bible. In 2019 tweet, Räsänen questioned her church's sponsorship of an LGBTQ pride event and linked to an Instagram post with a picture of Romans 1:24-27. For those who know your Bible, you should know what is there. So Romans 1:24-27. And then both Pujola and then Räsänen could face prison time if convicted. Quote, "I'm very optimistic to win the case, but I have to say I've been very optimistic all the time," unquote, Räsänen said. Quote again, "I would never have believed that this happens in Finland, because we are a democracy with freedom of speech and freedom of religion in our constitution. It has been very unbelievable that this process has continued," she added. "So you never can know what happens." When the charges were announced, Finland's state prosecutor said Ms. Räsänen's comments were made to cause intolerance, contempt, and hatred towards homosexuals. When the charges... Okay, so read that one. During the trial, prosecutors and unrelated Bible... They read unrelated Bible verses as bad speech. This week, Finnish prosecutors stated that the Bible should not overrule Finnish law and that the use of the word sin could be harmful. Hey, what a world. The word sin could be harmful. What a world we live in. Räsänen said if she is convicted, it would be forbidden to agree with the Bible, adding that the prosecutor compared the Bible to Mein Kampf, I think. It's a guy who, I've forgotten his history, like, but he did some, he believes in this extreme things and killed people and all that. So I think he's comparing the Bible to. And then, quote, "You are allowed in your mind..." So listen, quote, "You are allowed in your mind to agree with the Bible," unquote, she added, "but you can't state it publicly." So this is what the prosecutor says. So believe the Bible in your mind, but don't never let it come out of your mouth. Publicly, don't say what the Bible says. Räsänen also said that the prosecution in the case has made several false statements about her past, including she had said homosexual people are inferior to other people, or that God has not even created homosexual people. "I have never said something like that," she said. "My conviction is that all people are equal. God has created all people, and homosexual people are as precious, as valuable as everyone else." The case has grabbed attention of one U.S. lawmaker. Quote, says the absurd anti-Christian hostility inherent in this case cannot be overstated. Republican Chip Roy, Texas Republican. And they say that. And Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, wrote in an opinion for Fox News. Quote, "Finland is a European liberal democracy that ostensibly promises its citizens basic human rights such as freedom of speech, religion, assembly, equality under the law, property rights, among others," unquote. Roy and Perkins continued. "However, the Finnish government seems to have forgotten these core values acting more like a woke theocracy as it attempts to punish citizens who dare contradict the secular dogmas of the day. Roy and Perkins said this in the that a reminder of what is to come, warning that similar cases could come to the United States if religious freedom is not protected. Racine said she is grateful for the support and prayers that she has received from the Christians around the world, but that now is the time for Christians to use their freedoms, to use their rights and freedom of speech and religion, because the more we are silent about these issues, the narrower will be the space for the freedom of speech and religion. Let me repeat. She said, so this is a message to all of us. We in Ghana who think we have our freedom and all that, this is a message to all of us. We should use our freedoms to use their rights and their freedom to speech and religion, because the more we are silent about these issues, the narrower will be the space for the freedom of speech and religion. Quote, now is the time for Christians to be open about their faith and tell openly about the message of the Bible, and especially about the message of the gospel, unquote, she added. And then Romans 1:24-27 reads, okay, this is NIV, let me use the King James, I mean, that's my favorite anyway. So Romans chapter 1:24-27. All right, says, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bend in their own, in their lust, one towards another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And so this is what she quoted, and they are charging against her. And has she added the verse 32 there? And getting them said, that one, they would have killed her by now. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. If she had added this verse, then by now they would have finished their app, because that would have, they would have said that, hey, trouble. But see, this is the persecution that others are going through. And see, this is not some strange anti-Christian country. Years back, all these places had Christianity there. All these places that we are having these news, persecution news, the Christians had their freedom. And one after the other, they lost it, little by little. You see, so if we have our freedoms today, we shouldn't take it for granted at all. We shouldn't take it for granted. Now is the time to act and live as believers. You see, we should not take it for granted, because the silence of our faith is virtually the end of the freedoms, because little by little, we can lose it in various ways. We thank God that in our society in Ghana, things are not as it is in these countries. But we don't know tomorrow. We don't know tomorrow. Because we are living in a situation where some laws can come, not emanating from our government, but from above, in terms of from the UN level. And one day we wake up and there will be, they'll be pushing a mandate from the UN that all countries should go this way. In that case, our hands are tied. So it's not that our government will say it, but it will come from outside. And you are, you've signed up to all these conventions out there, so sometimes you are bound by these conventions and all that. So it's like when now they amend it and they reissue some of these statements, we have no option than to abide by it. So let's make use of the time that we have, and let's build our faith as I've been saying it on this program, this year our faith is going to be tested in various ways. Our faith is going to be tried in various ways. But let's stand firm and grow in the Lord. Let's grow in the Lord. Let's grow in the faith. All right. So this is Eben, program Issues of Life, Spirit 88.3 FM. I'll be back after this set of songs, beautiful, beautiful songs. And I believe if you listen to the songs, you understand where I'm going. So after the song, I'll be talking more.
He's invited us now to his table of mercy.
Come to the table of mercy.
Come to the table of mercy. Partake of the bread and remember that Jesus Christ gave his life for our salvation. Take of the cup And as we do, remember that Jesus Christ shed his blood for the remission of our sins.
Welcome back. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. And I believe from the songs that played, you can have an idea what I'm talking about. And we thank God for this evening. I have with me Pastor Prince Ahinokwa. And he's in Accra. He's an associate pastor, together with Pastor Roger, who has been on this show by phone a number of times when we're talking about the revival. And I've known him for some years. So when I go to Accra, actually, that's the church I visit when I go to Accra. And he happened to come to Kumasi for official duties, not as a pastor, but official duties as normal secular work. So I was having a chat with Pastor Roger that this week I'm getting to the all-important topic of communion. And he said, Pastor Prince Kra will come as you. So, and yeah, when it don't start here. Because, so that's how I come this evening. I have him in the studio. And you see, I'm not the type who travels or goes to many churches, but that's one church I know that they really believe in the communion extensively. I mean, seriously. I've not seen any church that believes in communion like they do. Their head pastor, Reverend Della, is something. I mean, oh, serious. And I've learned a lot. Whenever I go there, I really get blessed. See, and it's interesting how, seriously, some of the saddest moments for me in church is when I'm in church, whichever church, and it's time for communion, and you see people sitting down, they are not taking part in it, and it's like, I sometimes marvel, like, hey. So I love something which my pastor says sometimes, quite often he says it, whatever keeps you from taking communion will keep you from going to heaven, or will keep you from the rapture. And that's the fact. Because even you yourself, you judge yourself and you know that you are not worthy of taking communion. Are you worthy of going to heaven then? Are you worthy of being in the rapture then? You know, it's quite a serious issue, and it's unfortunate how Christians sometimes have very limited knowledge about communion, the power of communion, and we have a very powerful resource as God has given to us, but we are underutilizing it, let me put it that way. So it's like you've been given a nuclear weapon, and instead of using it as a nuclear weapon, you've minimized it to use it as a pistol. I mean, pistol, how many rounds, how many people can you kill with a pistol? You have limited the power of the weapon that you have. But if you understand how to really operate and use that device, it can act as a powerful nuclear weapon. And that's exactly the role of communion in the lives of many believers. So this evening I'm talking about, I can't finish today. God will, next week we'll continue. As well, he will not be in Kumasi by then, but tonight I brought him here at least to share something as we are starting this part. And let me first read this from BBC website, bbc.com, 21st October 2015. It says, in most major cities around the world, communities of ordinary people, nurses, bar staff, secretaries, are drinking human blood on regular basis. The question is, why? Let me repeat. In most major cities around the world, communities of ordinary people, nurses, bar staff, secretaries, then goes on, are drinking human blood on a regular basis. The question is, why? And this article was written by David Robson, 21st October 2015. It's a long article. I just needed the beginning. Then excerpt of it goes on to say that there are thousands of people drinking blood in the U.S. alone. And then it goes on. And from what we can tell, most major cities across the world seem to have a vampire community. This is DJ Williams, a sociologist. He made the statement. Just excerpt of the article, and goes on and on. After consuming 7 short glasses of blood, our digestive system works wonderfully. This is one statement someone made. You know, this is human blood and animal blood and all that. But I'm starting it from that angle to make a point. Years back, I listened to this former occult man who was sharing his encounter, and when he was a child, the father used to give him a glass of blood every morning before going to school. I said, whoa, That is something interesting there. You know, if you listen to other occult people or you've read their books or messages and all that, and blood is a very major part of rituals, of practices, drinking it. I've read of instances where people go and buy it at the blood banks. They pay money for it and buy it. So that's their regular supply of blood and all that, and they drink. And all. You see, so it's a reality. It's not some horror movie, imaginative Hollywood. It's a reality. So that's why even BBC has this report in there. So as Christians, we have this all-important thing that Jesus talked about. So let's get into the Bible. First, let me read before Pastor Prince will join us. John 6, verse 25. Okay, or 52 to 56. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" 53. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." 54. "Whoso eateth his flesh and drinketh my blood," so "whoso eateth my flesh," sorry, "and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." It's very interesting. "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." All right, so this is just the introduction. So, Pastor Prince, you are welcome to Kumasi. And this is Spirit 88.3 FM. And we have you here this evening. And we are talking about this all-important topic. I'm calling it that way. And it, because it's very, very important, especially in the times we are in, where evil activity is rising, evil is on the ascendancy. You know, one of the things a believer cannot ignore in these days is communion. Unfortunately, we've had all sorts of misconceptions and misunderstandings and lack of education to a certain degree when it comes to these things. So some just see it as some ritual, and Jesus left us two rituals, communion and then baptism, and just, yes, so one of the two things. So you have Christians who announcement we made in church, next week the and next week communion, and then next week that means he will not go to church because it's like he's not ready. You know, people just don't see it as some serious thing, some casual thing. I remember an instance my sister was telling me of a church that for 1.5 years, the head pastor placed an embargo, no communion. It's like, come on, 1.5 years, no communion. How? And, I mean, recently my pastor also made a statement like that. Another church, and the deacons were complaining that the pastor doesn't want to do communion. So they were fighting him. No, but see, all these things, just to give people the understanding of how insignificant people see it. But, well, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, man of God. And I'm so happy. It's good being in Kumasi, at least away from the heat and the rush hours of Accra.
Okay, yeah.
Yes, it's good being, at least you come to it. You have a few times to relax, and at least tonight you have a rainy weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming back to the issue of the communion, which is a very, 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 very important.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised that by the comment making where even the kings have to take the pastor on.
Mm.
A pastor neglecting communion.
Oh, yeah.
Because any Christian who doesn't take the communion, I'm really sorry. Mm-hmm. He's a weak Christian.
Oh, yeah.
He's a weak Christian because looking back, tracing the communion back in the Bible, it goes back to Exodus chapter 12.
Yeah, Passover.
Yes. It goes back to Exodus chapter 12. We get a 7, 13, and a 23. I think I can just flip through one or two and we can go ahead. Exodus chapter 12. Mm-hmm. Let's take it from the 7. Seven. And that is Moses speaking.
Yeah.
And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two posts, side on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. And then let me jump to the 13 because of time. At least and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be open, shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be for you a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it as a feast by ordinance forever. Mm-hmm. That says as communion is an ordinance. An ordinance, you shall keep it for generations. That means it has no end. Throughout all generations till today, it must have no end. And then let me jump to the 23.
For the Lord will bypass. Okay.
For the Lord will bypass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and upon the two sides post, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come upon it unto your houses to smite thee. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. So this clearly states the command God gave to the Israelites.
Yeah.
Say, it shall be forever. It is not for a time. It is not for a season. Mm-hmm. It is not when you cross from Egypt into your freedom. It is not when you have your this or when. So everything has been laid down specifically.
Yeah.
So the Israelites were practicing this every year until Jesus Christ came to fulfill it. That is where you read John chapter 6.
Yeah.
From 50 to 58, giving us everything down there. And it is so plain and so clear. So when it came to that, Jesus giving the disciples that is my body that I'm sharing with you.
Mm-hmm.
This is my blood. So do it as often.
Yeah.
As often. There's no time to wait. So it comes to affirm what was in Exodus chapter 12.
Mm-hmm. Say,
do it as often as possible.
Yeah.
That means it has no time, it has no limit, it has no hour, it has no generation, it has no age.
Yeah.
So, one of the issues that people tell me it comes to that, I am not of 12 years, I am not 13 years, I'm not 14 years, I'm not this, so can I take communion? And then, for our place, there is no restriction.
Yeah, I know you're the Sunday school teacher, so then they also,
Children, some people have questioned why we should even give children communion. And I ask you, I've seen a two-year-old girl that was 78 years queen mother in the witch's kingdom.
Spiritual realm. Yeah,
she was old.
Yeah,
but she was a child that we know she was a child.
Mm-hmm.
But she was old.
Mm-hmm.
So for our place, children take communion.
Yeah,
and they like it. Some of them will come in and say, "Please, can I get one for school?"
Mm-hmm.
Because when the Lord said, "I will pass through the land." The Lord was killing the firstborns of the Egyptians.
Yeah.
The firstborn. The Bible never states whether the firstborn was 12 years, was 2 years, was a year. So far as the child or whoever is a firstborn, that firstborn will die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was no...
The criteria was...
There was no criteria set.
Yeah.
So God didn't say, when I pass through the land and you don't have the blood on your doorpost, and when I get to the Egyptian side, maybe all firstborn that are under the age of 12 years, I will spare them.
No,
all firstborns, whether the child was
day old.
A day born.
Yeah.
They couldn't survive. So the Bible has made it, I'm not the one saying it,
mm-hmm.
but the Bible has made it very, very clear
yeah.
that we should, this is what we should follow. So, and Jesus Christ has come to follow it. He did accordingly. And when we get to 1 Corinthians 11, 25, 26, so we just need to observe the questions that are there. Yeah. Just as in Exodus chapter 12, verse 5, it said, the lamb should be without blemish.
Mm-hmm.
The lamb should be without blemish. That means you can't use a lamb that has any stain on it.
Yeah.
So the same thing is in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse from 27 to 29. It said, do not drink it unworthily.
Unworthily, yeah.
So the questions have been provided both in the Old Testament and the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
So examine yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Examine yourself. Whether you are right with God. Examine yourself.
Yeah.
Whether you are right with God. If you are not right with God, ask for forgiveness and go ahead and take the communion.
Mm-hmm.
All that you should is the relationship between you and God.
Yeah.
You and God. That matters. It is you and God. That matters. Because the communion is there to what? Toughen you. Is to fortify you. The communion is there to, it's a way maker for you. It opens up for you. The communion has there. So if you're a Christian and you don't take the communion, you are really losing.
Oh, yeah.
There are many things that, I mean, you are sacrificing yourself for. There are so many things that you are not getting. So if you say, oh, as for me, communion is this, communion is that. But in Exodus chapter 24, from 6 to 8, say, put it as a doorpost. It's a mark on you.
Yeah.
It is a mark on you. So when you take the communion, you are having God in you. You are having God in you. That's Matthew 26, from the 26 to 29, says you are having him in you. Therefore, as we go about our days and communion is a daily, it's an hourly, it's a minute.
But that's what Jesus said, John 6, 56. It's the same thing too. He said that, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him.
So the fullness of God, the fullness of Jesus Christ in you is the communion. The fullness thereof is the communion. So if he has instructed this, and so for me, I don't want to take communion. For me, communion is this, and communion is that. Where it's gotten to, and even church members are fighting with pastors, and pastors who say, from henceforth, I've laid embargo on communion. That pastor needs deliverance. That pastor needs to be taught what the communion is.
Embargo on communion, 1.5 years, no communion in the church.
There is power in communion.
Oh, yeah.
There is power in communion. You don't see it as any ordinary thing that you're doing. Because it's the element that's a representation of Christ's body. Yeah. And it's a representation of his blood. So when you do it, Christ didn't restrict anybody.
Mm-hmm.
There is no limit on anybody. So don't do it. Do that. Oh, don't come here. No. But the communion is supposed to be to our benefit. Yeah. So as a Christian, something that should be to your benefit. If you are not even practicing it, if you're not doing it, who loses? It is you who loses.
Yeah.
Because if the occults are drinking blood,
mm-hmm.
if they are drinking blood and they are sharing and they are drinking and they are fortifying themselves, how are you fortifying yourselves? Yes, the word of God is there. Prayer is there.
Yeah.
But the blood is very, very important. The blood is the covenant. The blood is the sign. The blood puts you aside. It sets you apart. The blood nourishes you. It gives you strength. It gives you a hope. You have joy. And you know that when it was said, the next time I'll be feasting with you, we'll be feasting in heaven.
Yeah,
so it Matthew is a promise 26, that has to be fulfilled.
Yeah, 26, 29. So yes. Let me just read the 20,
yeah.
7. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And if you are not ready to drink it with him on earth now, yet, you want to go and drink it with him in heaven.
No. We lose the essence of Christianity if you don't, because people really want to see it with the physical and analyze with the physical mind.
Yeah.
Oh, if it is maybe sometimes Vinto or malt or anything that I'm using. Oh, what power does this carry? It is like the spirit and the letter.
Yeah.
It is the spirit and the, for the letter, yes, we are having the communion, the wafer and the drink.
Mm-hmm.
But for the spirit and the power that works in it.
Yeah.
Because I have seen people who are very sick and they've taken the communion and it has given them instant healing.
As for the testimonies, it abounds a lot of testimonies. A lot of deliverance, a lot of testimonies.
My. Please, if you are listening to us now, and you are not taking communion, please start taking communion.
Oh yeah.
And bring the testimony. I want you to start taking the communion and bring the testimony. No, communion, one surprising thing about communion, let me, it's not just about human beings.
I learned it. You experienced something in your house.
It's not about human beings.
Yeah, share it. Yeah.
In my house, I have a lot of pigeons. I have a lot of doves in my house. There are almost about 50 or so in my house. And I'm not a veterinary doctor.
Yeah.
I have not studied birds.
Mm-hmm.
When I came to rent my house, they were in my house already.
Mm-hmm.
And they have been with me and they are still with me. But when these birds get sick, they get down. When they get down, I don't have any medicine to give to these birds. Sometimes you see one of their eyes, will be blocked. Sometimes, anytime they get down and you see them walking and they cannot fly, you say, no, these birds are sick.
Mm-hmm.
So what my wife and I, what we do is, there's a place where we pour water for them to drink.
Mm-hmm.
We just take communion. We pray on the communion. We pour the communion into the water. They will take the communion. At most, within 2 days, this bird gets well.
Mm-hmm.
At most, within 2 days, this bird will start flying. The last one that I experienced was about a month ago.
Yeah.
Most of them have moved towards another church, so they hardly see them. But I was there, I came back from work, and I saw one of them walking there. So I asked my wife, I think this bird is sick. We realized that either the head was turning and one of the eyes was gone off. So what is happening to this bird? This bird couldn't fly. So it could move at the footsteps. When it hears the footsteps, that is where this bird begin to know that maybe there's someone coming. So after 2 days, I said, no, this bird cannot die. No. So I told my wife,
apply the blood. On the bed.
We need to apply the blood. I said, okay, fine. And we understand the language. So where the birds come for the water, we pour the blood. I prayed on it and I poured it. And I said, you bird, you will not die. You will survive, you will live, and you will join your people. So okay, my wife said, okay, that is it. I realized that, so when you're walking on one side, it cannot see you.
Okay.
When you walk on the other side, it can see you. Then I realized that, no, one eye is gone off.
Yeah.
So I prayed and I said, I left the bed. First day, second day, the third day, I came back from work in the evening. I went to church. I came back and I saw the bed just walking up. By the next morning, when I was looking for this bed was nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where is this bed gone? I roamed the entire house. I didn't see the bed. I roamed the entire house. I didn't see the bed.
Yeah.
I was just there within about 2 hours, and I saw a bird. The bird flew up.
Mm-hmm.
It came down to where we were sitting. It came and flew on top of us.
To see.
The bird flew on top of us and flew up again. And went to the other side and did the same stuff.
Yeshua,
and it went away. And I said, oh God, thank you. The bird wants to communicate to me that it is one.
It is
one. So, even if birds cats. Yeah. I have cats in my house as well. And thus, can take communion and they will be what? That power is available to you, a human being. There is power in the communion. That is what I want you to understand. That there is power in the communion. Do not see it as any ordinary thing.
Yeah.
Do not see it as any ordinary, because Christ has said, oh, let's just do it and let's obey what Christ has said. Let's just do it and let's take it and go away.
Sadly, that's how it's been relegated to. So
No.
It's like, it's just a ritual. People just take it without any understanding of the power behind it.
No.
So it's just like, well, let's just eat in remembrance of Christ. Let's just eat. It affirms our waiting for him. I mean, so we are losing out the power behind it. You know, I learned a few years ago about this communion thing. The few pastors I listened to, and two of them were stressing that it is time we take communion daily. Yes. And the Lord has been instructing, I know a number of men of God, the Lord has instructed that they should teach their church members this. It's time, because see, the level of evil that is coming upon the world, our spiritual antennas and our security and all divine protection should be at another level. And so I started it. And I noticed there's a difference. It works. I mean, I do it every day. I take communion every day. The whole family, we take communion every day. The children, all of us, before we leave for work or to school. And I know, you see, the sad thing is, I'll use the word saddest. I know pastors who take it every day, but they won't teach this to their church members.
That is it.
And I don't understand why. You see, if you know the power in it and you believe in it, why are you keeping this to yourself? And you are not teaching your church members to understand the potency, the power in this thing. So it's less like, well, they know it, but well, for the church, let's keep the ritual going for them. Once a month, sometimes some churches gradually forget that it's communion. Before some administrator, be remember, hey, you've not done communion for some time. Oh, okay, next week. I mean, that's how some churches are running communion. It's just some ritual. But let's see it as a spiritual exercise. That is not just an exercise, but a real bond of relationship with power backing it. You see, it's sad. The reason why I started with the occult people and all these things is the fact that, you see, when it comes to these spiritual things, those on the other side understand spiritual things more than believers. You see, so they know the power in blood. In the blood, whichever blood they are drinking, they know there's power in it. But we believers don't understand the power that we have. I mean, the power, you see, there's no way to describe the power that we have in the blood of Jesus. But we struggle to appreciate that power. So the unbelievers in the occult, and they know the power that they have through the human blood. Even the virgin's blood is sought after, because they know there's power in it. Baby's blood, they know there's power in it. You know, I mean, we've all heard the Sakawa, a whole lot of these things they do, killing babies and virgins and girls and all, for the blood. And yet we believers don't want to believe that there's greater power in the blood of Jesus. You see, it's very unfortunate that we have to look at how these people believe in what they do before it will awaken us that we also have to be serious with what we believe in. It shouldn't have been so. It shouldn't have been so. A similar thing happens, like example, like fasting as well. You know that in the serious occult levels, before you even get promoted, they fast.
Yes.
They fast. I remember one pastor was sharing an encounter he had in the plane with, and you know, it was this long haul plane flights, and so interacting with the man, the one sitting beside him, he didn't introduce himself as a pastor. So the pastor, he asked the man, like, they were serving the drinks, like the food, and the man said, oh, the neighbor said that he's not eating, he's fasting on an assignment. So the pastor became, because earlier he had, from the conversation, he knew that the man wasn't a Christian. So why is he fasting? He said it's an assignment to destroy a family of a pastor. Then his antennas immediately His antennas really rose because, hey, dangerous zone. So he wanted to know more. And the man said, oh, yes, he's a satanic high priest. He's a satanic high priest, and he's on a mission to destroy a family, a pastor's family. So he's fasting for that assignment. You see, so when I said, whoa, you see, so they believe and it works. Because, example, what's the essence of the fasting? To lighten the body, the flesh, and they also believe in it. So you see, so it's not we Christians alone who have to put our body under subjection. They in the occult too, they have to put their body under subjection if they want to elevate in the spirit realm and to achieve some spiritual assignments and some goals. So if we say the same thing in the Christian side of it, that we also have to fast to be able to control the body and to do some, Jesus said, some things goeth not except by prayer and fasting. It's not the same thing.
The same thing.
Right, this is, the devil rather copies from us. And they institute it, and they believe it even more than we do. It's the same thing with this communion thing. The occult guys drink blood, use blood for all their sacrifices and whatever things they do. We are not even doing the sacrifice again because Christ sacrificed himself. I mean, the sacrifice has been done already for us by Christ. So we now have to benefit from it through the power of communion and through faith. And this is the easiest part for us to do. We are not going to now look for a body to go and sacrifice and drain the blood to go and drink. No. He has done it for us on the cross. Ours is to believe in the power thereof and walk in it and apply it. But this is the missing link. We struggle to believe that. So does it mean Jesus died on the cross? So that blood, you know, that connection. It's where we struggle to connect it. That. So how do we relate it to this communion, this wine, this Coca-Cola, this Pepsi, or whichever drink in my hand? You see, so Pastor Prince, if you can talk a bit about that aspect of it.
That's what I was saying, that the communion, if it is Coke, malt, whatever you have, it is just a representation.
Yeah.
It is just a representation. Just as in the Old Testament, they took the unleavened bread.
Mm-hmm.
They took the unleavened bread. And the blood was on their doorpost. But when it comes to the John chapter 6, the 15th one said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eats of this bread, he shall live forever.
Yeah.
How will you live forever?
Mm-hmm.
Only if you eat the bread. So the Coke or whatever element that you are using as a representative of the blood and the body, though it does not really do anything physically. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at on a physical, it does not really. But spiritual, underlying spiritual factor is what you must look to.
Yeah.
Don't look at it whether it is malt. Don't look at it whether it is water. Don't look at it whether it is Coke. Or it is Vinto, or it is whatever.
Yeah.
What you need to see is the power that is in it. Mm-hmm. So for us, you can take an ordinary oil and just spray the power of God into it and turn it into the power. So it is. So if you can do it, just pray. All that matters is you and God having a clean road.
Yeah.
You ask for forgiveness of sin, cleansing, not be an unworthy manner, and you move out. Because the communion is your advantage over the powers of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
So let the occult man fast and take communion. You also fast and take communion. And let's see who has power.
Power plus power.
Your power has advantage over his.
Yeah.
Because a photocopy is not as the original. This is a photocopy.
Yeah.
The original inscription was given to you as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
The original inscription and the original commandment is to you, not them. So whatever that they are doing, they are just taking it
from
and
us.
They are taking it from us, and they just want to emphasize and make it strong.
Yeah.
So if you have the original land title, and someone has the photocopy, and we go to court, who takes the land?
Yeah.
The original. So I don't see why we should relegate our position to the other people, the other side, for them to take advantage of us.
And it's working for them.
And it's working for them. Mm-hmm. And that is pity.
Yeah.
It's so pity that you have a land, you have a property, and you are not using the property, and you are not taking advantage of it. Yeah. And someone has come to encroach it, and he is building on it, and you are happy. Continue. No. Mm-hmm. Who will give his property to you?
Yeah.
No. So for us, they will not relegate their property to us. We should also not relegate our property to them. Mm-hmm. But if they are benefiting, and we are rather sitting down and putting our hands in between our thighs and looking at them.
Yeah.
What comes to your mind? Are you losing your power? Are you losing the advantage? Are you losing your fortification?
Mm-hmm.
Because the communion fortifies you.
Yeah.
Because they are taking the communion, their blood, to fortify themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Why not take it to fortify you? What do you lose?
That's the issue.
What do you lose? If you take the communion, what do you lose?
You lose, yeah. You know, we have this sad, unfortunate situation where we've just seen Christianity as, well, we believe in Jesus, and but recently the Holy Spirit drew my attention to something. You see, the believing of the Word of God, really taking it out of it, just the letter, just the text, but really accepting it and believing what you are reading, and accepting it into you that this is applicable for me, taking it for yourself, taking hold of it. That is where sometimes we miss out. Because, you see, unfortunately, we've just relegated a lot of the Word of God as just text. We just read it and that's it. But we are not really connecting to it as the spirit behind the ABCD we are seeing. So we see ABCD, the text, Jesus healed. Okay, he healed. Okay, that was then. Moses put up a staff and then this happened. Oh, okay, that was then. You see, we read all these things and we unconsciously push it back as that was then. But then we are forgetting that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God is a living book. It's not a dead book. It's not a history book. There's history in it, but it's a living history book, because it's the only history that you read that it can apply to, you can apply to your life, and it will work in your life.
It's applicable.
You see, but we should get back. You see, Christians, it's time we really understand what the Word of God is. It's not just a book. It's not just some fables or just some stories. And you see, last week I mentioned the Word of God is principles, promises, and prophecies.
Yes.
If we understand these three things and connect it well, principles, the principles of the word of God, those are to do with the laws, the do's, the commandments, you know, love your neighbor as yourself. All these things are the principles. Then the promises, where Jesus, the Word of God, I'll protect you, I'll do this, I'll be a hedge around you. All these are promises that are there for us to appropriate and take. And then the prophecies are also there. But most times we just relegate all these things and we just walk as if these things are not for us. The promises in the Word of God are for us. The principles are for us. The prophecies are for us. The three in one, we apply everything together and we have a holistic Christian life. Unfortunately, we are just pushing all these things away. We just work casually. We don't care if we are losing our mandates as Christians. And the devil is just battering us. We don't care. Oh, it's like, oh, I'm a Christian. It's time we stop saying I'm a Christian and let people ask us, are you a Christian? You see, people should see the Christ in us. We don't even have to announce I'm a Christian before they know you're a Christian.
No.
We should get to the point where people look at you and they say, you look like a Christian.
A military man in uniform doesn't need to tell someone that he's a military man.
Yes.
A policeman standing there, the moment you are coming, you see. You know,
it's obvious.
This is a police officer.
It's obvious.
It's obvious.
But unfortunately, we have Pastor Roger listening. He says he's enjoying the discourse.
No. One thing is, people want to take some part of the Bible
mm-hmm.
and leave some part of it.
Yeah.
No, especially where it gets to. I remember that this, there is popular scripture that was being used during this corona time. And that is where, when it came to the matter of the height of the corona, and people were, for that memory verse, they were taking it and they were just saying it anyhow, anywhere.
Is it the Psalm 91?
Oh, you know it.
Hey, Psalm 91, there, sure. Oh, yes. Okay, that one.
But why would you take Psalm 91 and ignore John chapter 6?
That's the.
Why would you take Psalm and leave Psalm? So the word of God is a living being.
Oh, yeah.
It's a living being. Mm-hmm. From Genesis chapter 1, right down to the end of Revelation
22.
Ah!
Yeah.
It's a living being. Everything in the Bible is living.
Applicable.
It is active. It is living. It is spirit. Mm-hmm. Only if we can learn to live by it.
Yeah.
Only if we can apply it in faith. But, I mean, accepting Jesus Christ is by faith.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ didn't walk from heaven and just entered into just walk. No. Mm-hmm. Why would Jesus sit in your heart?
Mm-hmm.
No. But we received him by faith.
Yeah.
So that faith that you received him into your heart, accept him as your Lord and personal Savior. Yeah. Have that same faith when you are taking the communion.
Yeah.
That if I receive Jesus into my heart by faith, yeah, and I know he's living in me.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is in me. Then this commandment that he has given, I will live by it, mm-hmm, and see.
Yeah.
Mark it on your doorpost. That is what they did.
Yeah.
And then the disaster passed over them. Oh. So mark the communion on your forehead and see what happened.
Unfortunately, as when the conversation is getting sweeter and sweeter, that's when the time also tries to fly. But God willing, next week, I'll be continuing. Pastor Weja will be joining us. If you can also join by phone, we'll see. But this is a very important thing, especially in these days we are in. As evil is increasing, we cannot take divine protection and every divine advantage we can have. We shouldn't take it for granted. Unfortunately, I have to end here. God willing, next week, I'll be continuing. This file will be uploaded to spiritissues.info and in the Telegram group. This is Eben. I had with me Pastor Prince Ahinakwa. He's an Assemblies of God pastor in Accra. God willing, next week, I'll be coming your way. Good night and God bless you.
On the night you were betrayed, you took the bread. After giving thanks, you broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you." And as you eat it, remember me. My body broken for you, and as you eat it, remember me.
Let's partake of the bread and remember that Jesus Christ gave his life for our salvation.
You